chapter 6, verse 18. That is my theme verse. I'd like to keep you all with me here for the next 25 to 30 minutes on this warm Sunday morning and think about a subject that has been stirring in my mind this week. I'll admit to you, I'm a simple man, and many times what I think about is what I feel I'm needing. And what I've been inspired by. And this, the word that I want to pick up on this morning is found here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And the word is perseverance. The sermon title this morning is simply Perseverance to Persist. To persist. That's another definition. One of my daughters asked me last night, "Dad, what are you preaching on tomorrow?" And I said, "Perseverance." She said, "Well, what does that mean?" I thought to myself, that is a good question, and it's one that I should be prepared to explain. It is simply to persist, to continue, to press on. And that is not a new concept in scriptures at all. But the word perseverance, to me, I like that word. It has some depth to it, and I'd like to try to explore it just a little bit more as we go on. The word perseverance is only found, English word perseverance is only found this one place in Scripture as far as I could tell. However, there's other Greek words that have similar thoughts, or it's being translated with different English words. For instance, you'll find it in Acts 2 verse 42 where it says, "And they continued steadfastly." That word is the same root as perseverance. And also in Romans 12:12, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." So this idea of continuance, pressing on. About a year ago, I listened to a book entitled South, which told the story of Sir Ernest Shackleton. Right there, turn of the 20th century, he launched, I believe he was a British explorer, Arctic explorer to be exact. He had spent a good bit of time in those regions, which means he was used to cold, right? But he pursued he led a group of 27 men to the Antarctic, and it was a well-planned exploration trip. Antarctic is South Pole area, and he was planning to travel to a certain location and then disembarking and going across ground, crossed ice, to another location where they would be picked up at, where there was a little outpost. And so there was a good plan, very well mapped out, but there was tremendous obstacles. There was no question but that they were going to face tremendous challenges. And so they pressed forward, and they finally headed out into the Arctic Ocean. That may not be the exact, because it does get broken up into some other areas, but I'm speaking generally here in that area. And it wasn't long, however, until they ended up in an ice pack, and they became caught in that thing. They had spent days navigating through little floes and making their own way, and it was every day they put more space between them and open water behind them. So they were taking their risks, but it was timed right. It should have worked, but it didn't. And the boat was totally frozen into the ice pack. And it was 2 years or more before these men were back into civilization. It's an account, a historical account worth listening to. It is instructive. It's also gives you just an eyesight into, you know, the workings of God's creation on the South Pole. But it was his calm leadership and his consistent perseverance against incredible odds and discomforts that stands out the most about Mr. Shackleton's work. He persevered consistently. He did not lose sight. And that drove him to against tremendous odds and to do things that just seemed to be impossible. In fact, it's still not understood how they made a few of the steps that they made, particularly that last inland where there was three of them, with the level of deterioration of their physical health and the energy. They didn't have like high protein bars they were packing at that point to like make a way for them. But by the grace of God, and they did acknowledge God as someone they recognized and perhaps his role in assisting them. Perseverance. So this message isn't intended to be some kind of a self-help message. There's no end books. You can go up to your Barnes and Nobles and study up on this subject all you want. That's not my point. I'm not going to try to do that, but rather I do want to sober us. I want to sober us all about the fact that this life is a battle. Good and evil, opportunity and apathy lie before us. Will we be those who stand in the gap and persevere? Will we lead? Will we serve? Will we trust? And will we complete the race that is set before us this morning? We're pretty far from the cold temperatures of the Antarctic, but we are not far from the same challenges represented in that book. God's word informs us again and again that there will be a need for the quality of perseverance in our lives. And so I can just take you through different phrases. Or different snippets of verses. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Those words tell me that there is dark times and incredibly hard times. Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened or dismayed. Those verses tell me that there is fearful things that come upon us. If you faint in the day of adversity, another verse says, your strength is small. James says this, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, and knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And we actually, in the close of our Sunday school lesson here this morning, Brother Tim, you brought us back to question 7, principles that the man of God must live by, and you highlighted a couple words. You said flee. You said follow. You said fight. You mentioned lay hold, whereunto thou hast art also called. I give thee charge in the sight of God. Those kind of verses, are which is committed to our trust, instruct us of responsibility, of opportunity, necessity, and perseverance that's laid upon every one of us. Scripture verses like, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Those words describe perseverance to me. A few thoughts that I penciled down here are these, and they could perhaps be debated, but I'll just state them. Nothing of value is accomplished in this world without intent. Nothing of value is accomplished in this world without intent. Things do not naturally evolve into something better, but rather they devolve into chaos and destruction. Perseverance requires choice. Perseverance requires choice. It comes out of commitment. Perseverance comes out of commitment and stable places in our lives. What are we committed to? Perseverance swells up from the commitments, the foundation that we're on, the vision that we have, what's in our heads and what's in our hearts, and where we're headed. We all have that to some degree or another. Many times, I would suggest too that perseverance is helped by godly rituals in our lives. Creation principles. One is, maybe starting at it's a unique spot, but one is to get our sleep. As you think about perseverance, I can tell you the different battles that I face in life. If I end up continually sleep deficient, I am not going to make it. I am going to just run short. I run out of steam. I run out of commitment. I run out of the ability to compute properly in this brain. You just start to come up short. It can be the simple things such as Bible reading and prayer time with God. If I start to lose that, I'm talking about perseverance comes from a place of stability in our lives. The ability to fight comes from things that we're standing on that give us fortitude to face the challenge. And so, yes, Bible reading and prayer time are very key to that. Good habits with our time and responsibilities are key to perseverance. If we just don't have the time to get around to it, if we just can't organize space in our life enough to do those things that are necessary, then we're not going to persevere. We're going to come up short. Yeah, simple things like eating healthy and caring for the little things in our lives are ways in which we're going to have the will in our spirit and the energy in our being to first persevere and to do what is right. Perseverance isn't a one-time push, but rather it is a groundswell of persistence and vision that guides us practically through today. It's a groundswell of that. And sometimes we do have to persevere from a very weak spot. I understand that. Sometimes we really are in that valley of shadow of death. Think of Job. I'm going to get to him shortly because we're going to move through just five different individuals and take a brief lesson from them. But think of Job's weak and low spot and yet his perseverance there. As a general rule, I believe that Job ended up at that spot because we have a little snapshot of Job as his children were out and about, and we see him coming together and worshiping God and praying for his children. We see faith, we see commitment in his own life, and so that did help him through and to persevere in that very low time. But having said that, I believe that perseverance, it's not a one-time push. It's not a one-time spike. But it is about being able to, by the grace of God, persevere today and get up and do it all over again tomorrow. I'm thinking about, I ask you, think about your own journey in spiritual life. The growth and development that you have seen in your life. The growth and development that you have seen in your life. Every one of you who has named the name of Christ can look to see some of those things. The growth and development that you have seen has been the result of an intentional cooperation between yourself and God's enabling spirit. The growth that you've seen in your life has been an intentional cooperation between yourself, we're talking about commitment and perseverance, and God's enabling spirit. By commitment and perseverance, growth has taken place. So we're thinking about perseverance. Think about marriage. Let's think about a few practical areas. Think about marriage. Does it grow? Does it increase just because? Or does it take some intent? Does it take some thought? Does it take some choices and some commitments to grow our marriage? We understand it does. It absolutely does. You know, on your wedding day is a great place to start from, but you grow from there. And that is the beauty of marriage, but it does take commitment and perseverance. Think about your family. Think about the little things that matter. Table manners don't just happen. You know, they're going to take some perseverance, some choices. You know what? We are going to use a fork and a knife, and from time to time, we have to have that conversation. I'm surprised how intentional you have to be to get some table manners going on. I thought my wife and I both eat pretty mannerly, but why does it sort of just go downhill? You know, and then you realize that it takes some perseverance, and you're going to have to say it again, and you're going to have to persevere in that, or it's just not going to happen. That's maybe I'm just a simple man, but I'm just coming to some of these conclusions more and more as I've gotten just a little older. What about child training and structure? It doesn't just happen. Look, I mean, it's a commitment. It's a new perseverance every evening when it's time for the children to go to bed. And it's like, you know what? No, we're just going to do this. I'm going to have to get up. And sometimes it takes some prodding from my wife, but she perseveres in that, and I persevere in getting our youngest in bed. You know, that's going to soon end because he'll be able to just do that himself. Times change so fast, but perseverance, it doesn't just happen. Child training and structure in our home does not just happen. And I'm speaking for myself this morning. For good things to happen, we need to lead. We need to show our children a better way. And that includes, yes, getting to church on time, whatever it might be. We're going to have to keep persevering in that. We must lead. Thinking about our home and persevere in showing how we want it done. And as our children get older, we need to be willing to teach why. We need to look for those opportunities, and we must carry through with what we believe, what we wish for our home, what we expect in our home. We need to push on. Think about church. Will we persevere in lifting up the plan of God through Jesus Christ and man's need of a Savior? That is our foundation. That's where we spring from. Perseverance grows out of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and God's Spirit within us. Does good church life just happen? Absolutely not. So brotherhood, yeah, we're going to have a brothers meeting here on Wednesday evening, and I hope that it sharpens us up in some point or another, helps us decide things together, and at the very most promotes brotherhood. We have choices to make. How are we going to relate to each other? How do we think about each other? And when we step on each other's toes, you know, we do need to persevere in being that iron that sharpens iron. Let's not stop that. But we also need to persevere in our love for each other and our willingness to work together. How are we going to help each other on the road of life? We must understand we cannot simply coast our way through a corrosive society. Perhaps that's one of the key burdens of the message. We just can't coast on through this world and think that it's not going to just erode and rust out areas that we hold valuable and are biblical and we believe are important. We're going to need to be intentional and preserve in what we wish to keep alive. What about some Bible examples of men and women who persevered? Well, the first one I have is Hannah. Perhaps we won't turn to that story. You all know it. It's in 1 Samuel 1, 13 through 15. Hannah desired a child, and her desire drove her to pour out her soul before the Lord in the temple with such intensity that Eli, as he looked on, concluded that this woman must be inebriated. As he looked on, that was the conclusion he came to. And I wanted to just highlight that intensity this morning, that pursuit after God, the perseverance that she had in this desire of her heart. Of course, we could also look at her commitment in offering the child, the son, if God would give her that, to his service, which she did. She carried through with that. But it is, and so I ask us this morning, my encouragement here is, mothers and parents, bring your desires and needs with intensity before God. Perseverance in that. Let's persevere in that. I want to notice the widow and the unjust judge. That's found in Luke 18, verses 1 through 9. We won't turn to that one either. But here is a woman who came before an unjust judge who feared not man or God. And she had a problem, and she wanted him to intervene in her situation, and he chose not to for whatever reason. But she continued, and she continued, and continued, and he finally said, look, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to do what she asked just so that she doesn't trouble me more. God desires that we persevere in bringing our quest before him again and again and again and again, showing that neediness to God, our need of him and our trust in his plan. God does not promise immediate resolution and answers, but God will answer in his time. In the meantime, are we in faith and trust? And so, yes, the valley of the shadow of death can be rather dark. It can be rather long, and it can be rather lonely. I don't know what the situation is, might be in your life, but God is saying, I want you to come again and again and again and again, because I will move on behalf of my people. I will answer in my time. And so there is a perseverance, intentional perseverance that God is teaching there, and it brings fruit into our lives. That battle, that commitment, that hardness that we face develops us like nothing else can. Job. We're not going to turn to that one either. You know this story. Job was there. He had lost his children, his cattle, his herds, his buildings. And then finally Satan came back to God and said, look, let me just take Job on personally. And God said, you may, but you can't touch his life. And so the next picture we have of Job is of him sitting there on the ground, of him covered with boils, oozing, painful. And Job's wife said, why don't you go ahead and simply take your life? And Job told her that that was a foolish thing to say. Job 2 verses, 7 and 9. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we not receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Job understood the need to persevere in the struggle of life. I think that's about all that Job had left at this point. He was committed to God and retaining the integrity of his soul that his wife described him as having. He wasn't going to throw in the towel. He stood strong, and it's an incredible testimony of his faith and trust. Our life story most likely will never look quite like that of Job, but again and again, we face our test. We suffer tragic loss. We suffer grave disappointments in each other. We lose the place, perhaps, that we once held in our community, but we can stand strong in faith and trust. And can we praise God? And do we have the fortitude to say with Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. That was perseverance of mind and spirit. There is a strength that Job shows that we do well to recognize. We need to have that same strength of mind, that ability to stand as Job did. Anyway, we continue on to Paul. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is our fourth person that we want to look at. There's numerous places we could go to just analyze Paul a little bit, but I chose these verses because they sort of summarize some of the things that he has said different places. Chapter 11 and verse 23. Are ye the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one, 5 different times. 3 times was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. How many of you have seen a man beaten with a rod? Well, the whips were one thing. I haven't seen that. I've seen just a little bit of beatings with rods in Asian countries. We don't get to see that very often in our society, but it's not a pretty scene. It's not a pretty scene. Usually it's a mob scene. Usually it's anger and those rods. Anyway, Paul faced those things. I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robberies, in perils of mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weakness and painfulness. In watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And then he continues on in his escape there, in a basket in Damascus, just to highlight a word that stood out to me again as I read this, and that is in verse 26, actually in verse 27, in watchings often. Watchings are not fun. Because watchings are a place where you're concerned, where there is reason to fear, where there is reason for your faith to be tested. It's being tested, and you do not know the conclusion. And so there you sit, and you wait upon God. There you sit, and you ponder the possibilities. There you sit and wonder if that judge is going to go ahead and say yes to his death. Now, I don't know what all was in that word, but it's a word that we want peace and rest and knowing and stability. And Paul's saying that he experienced that. If you'll continue on then into chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messengers of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glory. Ye have compelled me. And so on. Paul faced incredible difficulty, distress, and pain, and yet it was offset with the glory of serving God and his relationship with God. The opportunity that Paul had, and he lifted it high, to partner, to be the messenger of God, to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus to all who would listen, was what was the other side of this distress, the other side of this pain. He brings that out here. Paul teaches us that through persevering, we have the opportunity to experience God's power and grace that cannot be experienced in any other way. It's when we're in perseverance, when we're willing to continue through that battle, through that valley, and by God's grace retain our integrity, that God is able to meet us there in very special ways and give us the fortitude and the blessing and the comfort that we need. But beyond that, it's not just about comfort. It's also the knowledge that together we are accomplishing God's will and God's accomplishing his will through us. Folks who do not have a relationship with God look on and do not understand the tests and distresses of the Christian, but neither can they see the comfort and the power of the Spirit that God gives, and they cannot comprehend the joy of relationship with Creator God. And that's why we persevere. It's not about, you know, I'll just come back to Shackleton for a moment. I don't know that he saw himself on God's mission, but his perseverance was to his cause and his commitment. And this morning, our perseverance is to a cause and a commitment to a cause, but it's more than that. I believe that's one of the things that God has done specifically in the New Testament, in bringing relationship into our lives through Jesus Christ, the witness of the Spirit in our lives through Jesus Christ. And so our perseverance brings us a blessing and relationship and closeness to God today that perhaps was not experienced is experienced differently. It certainly is experienced differently than those who are outside of God. And so this morning, are we willing to press into these difficulties so that we can also experience the glory that Paul talks about here? He talks about the glory. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, verse 9, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Finally, Jesus is an example of perseverance. And this would be a deep study, because there's a number of thoughts that run through my mind. One is this word of perseverance is used by the Calvinists in the perseverance of the saints. That's the last P in TULIP, the five tenets of their belief. And I just want to make sure that we rescue this word for ourselves, because we understand the importance of perseverance as I've been teaching it this morning. I've also been impressed at the fact that Jesus needed to persevere so incredibly much to press through his battle. And anyway, it just seems to me, if you want to jump over to that subject of the perseverance of the saints and the Calvinists, why would Jesus have had to go through the perseverance that he did if in the end that battle was mainly removed through the Calvinistic teaching? That's a whole separate subject, but I've just been impressed with the fact that Jesus persevered incredibly through difficulty and through trial. And he was a perfect example in that. And he knew the end from the beginning. You know, he had committed to this early on. And he knew how this would conclude. But he had to make the choice today to persevere through some very difficult distresses. Jesus, Hebrews 12:2 describes it this way, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus had a life journey that was in many ways very similar to ours. There were relationships that were broken. There were people who disappointed him. There was mocking at some of his most vulnerable spots by his family, by his cousins, by those who were closest to him in Galilee, and whatever all else that may have been. He also faced the times when he was too in watchings. And also times when he was at very weak spots. I think that it does seem like Jesus expended his life energy in his couple short years of ministry, where he actually went from being perhaps a more energetic young man to a man who was wore down and wore out. And so we see him pressing deep into perseverance, into giving himself the way he did. But Jesus carried through to the end. He did persevere. There in the garden, that battle became very real and very, very close to him. But by the grace of God, he carried through that. And so I ask us today, and in conclusion here, can we see beyond today? Can we see beyond this day to the joy and victory that comes with persevering today? And do we have those eyes of faith? And so let's think about perseverance this week. Let's think about that word. Let's ponder that word. Let's see if we are persevering. It might be in, again, this comes down to very little ways that I believe build the foundation for us to be able to persevere, whether it's getting out of bed, whether it's having our Bible reading. It's how we think about, how we allow our mind to wonder and think about people and things and truth and righteousness or ungodliness. Can we face the test that seems to be too much? Can we, by the grace of God, by his power, by the relationship we treasure with our Savior, I ask us this morning, can we press on and run the race and make the choices that are difficult? May God bless us. May we persist this week. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come here before you this morning, and Lord, we do recognize a need in our own lives, each one of us, to persevere. And perhaps we do persevere in many ways, but I pray, O God, that you'd help us to see the weak spots, see the areas that we're making excuses, see the areas that we're not willing to face, those areas that just seem to be too big or too difficult. I pray that you'd help us by your power, by your grace, to persevere, to persist, to grow, to become better, to become more like you. And so, Lord, we do pray you'd give us wisdom, give us understanding, help us to be responsible and fulfilling the responsibilities that are in our lives. Give us grace. May your grace be upon us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.